We're ready now for our scripture. I'll say a brief word before I share it with you. We're beginning a new series. It's on forgiveness. This is so very important because I believe that both our lives and the life of the whole world is dependent upon the ability to forgive and be forgiven. But there's perhaps nothing harder sometimes in our own lives and in the life of the world sometimes than to forgive or even to accept forgiveness. So we're praying that as we go through the season of Lent and as we walk with Jesus as he's on his way towards the cross, that we'll grow in the appreciation for the gift of forgiveness that's ours, and that we'll grow in our ability to forgive others. We start our series off today, first of all, with the message of God's forgiveness. And the scripture is going to take us right to the cross. So we're kind of at the end of Lent right now with the scripture where Jesus will be on the cross. And he says something that we need to hear. The scripture is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 32 through 34. Listen to these words. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a story that I love to tell that goes right into this theme about forgiveness. It's the story of the pet duck. One day, Johnny and Sally went to visit their grandparents for a week. They love staying at their grandparents' home. They love to go out on the farm. They love to play. So they were looking forward to spending time at their grandparents' house. And when they arrived there, they were so excited. There was so much to do. After lunch that particular day, the grandparents suggested that perhaps they go out and play. And little Johnny had a little slingshot. And they said, "Well, why don't you go out and use your slingshot and set up some targets and play a little bit." So Johnny and Sally went out and Johnny had his slingshot, but he couldn't hit a single target and he got frustrated. So they played a lot and they were ready to come back to the house. But on their way back, little Johnny saw his grandmother's pet duck walking around from the barn. Now, mind you that Johnny hadn't hit a thing all day long. And he was a little bit frustrated. And he had no self-confidence. But something led him just to load up that slingshot and see if he could hit the duck. And he hit the duck in the head and killed the duck. He killed his grandmother's pet duck. And he was shocked. Now, he didn't know this, but Sally had seen it all. And very quickly, he tried to hide his mistake. He picked up the pet duck and he took it behind the barn and he found a way to kind of cover it up. And, well, he didn't know what else to do. So he proceeded back towards the house. Sally joined him. That day, in the kitchen, grandmother said, "Sally, it's time for you to help me clean up the kitchen a little bit." And Sally said, "Oh, grandmother, Johnny said he would be glad to do that today." And then she went over to Johnny and whispered in his ear, "Remember the duck." So Johnny went with his grandmother and he cleaned up the kitchen. Then later on that day, grandfather said, "Listen, I think I'd like to take all of y'all fishing. You know how much fun it is to fish. I want to take you fishing." And then grandmother said, "Well, you know, it's Sally's time to stay and help me fix supper. She's helping me to fix supper, and it's her time to do that." And Sally said, "Oh, no, but you see, Johnny wants to learn how to fix supper, too, and he said he'd do it tonight." She went over to Johnny, whispered in his ear, "Remember the duck." During that week, Johnny not only did all his chores, he did all of Sally's chores. Because anytime she had something to do that was her responsibility, she'd say, "Oh no, Johnny said he'd do it." And she'd whisper in his ear, "Remember the duck." Well, Johnny was about plumb worn out. And he was feeling bad on top of that. And so with a little trembling in his voice, he went to see his grandmother. And he said, "Grandmother, I've done something bad that I need to tell you about." His voice quivered. And he said, "Grandmother, I hit the duck with my slingshot. And I killed your pet duck." And as soon as she said that, he said that, she embraced him and said, "Johnny, I love you and I forgive you. And I want to let you know that I already knew that. I saw it all happen. I was looking out the window. I saw it all happen. I know that. But I was just wondering how long it would take before you got tired of Sally making you her slave." You know, God says the same thing to us. "I love you and I forgive you." And God has seen everything we've ever done. He knows everything we've ever said. He's seen it all. There's not one thing hidden from God. But he says the same thing. "I love you and I forgive you. How much longer will you allow the devil to keep you a slave to him?" You see, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Remember that. That's what God says to us. Jesus talked a lot about forgiveness. He preached about forgiveness. He told parables about forgiveness. But Jesus demonstrated God's forgiveness on the cross. And that's the scripture that we have today. It was on the cross that Jesus said the words, "I forgive you." Expressing God's forgiveness from a cross. It's been said that God's grace is free, but it's costly. The gift of God's forgiveness is free because it's a gift. We can't earn any of God's forgiveness. It is a gift. But at the same time, we know that it is costly. God's grace is free, but it's costly. It's costly because it comes from a place called the cross. An innocent man bearing the sins of the guilty. And that man speaking the very words of God, "I forgive you." We're starting this series with the attempt to understand God's forgiveness for us, because I am convinced that until we know how much we are forgiven, we can't really forgive others. But when we do know how much we have been forgiven, we can forgive others. I've seen forgiveness, God's forgiveness, change people's lives. You know, I don't know exactly who was there at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. We're told in Scripture that there were obviously some soldiers who were assigned that duty, and they merely cast lots to divide his clothing. And we're told that perhaps in another place there were some women there, but we don't know. But one way or another, that got out to people that it was from the cross that Jesus said, "I forgive you." And it changed the life of a man named Stephen. And as you read in the New Testament, Stephen was one of the leaders of the early church. And he was also one of the first martyrs, one of the first persons who died for his expression of the faith. And in that very moment in which he was being executed, he said the same words that Jesus said when he was nailed to a cross and crucified. Stephen looked out at the people and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We do know this, that there was a Jewish rabbi observing this whole scene. And he was holding the very cloak of Stephen and was watching the execution. And this man's name was Paul. And prior to this moment, he took delight in making sure that Christians were punished for their faith. But he saw this one Christian die with words of forgiveness on his tongue. And we know ultimately what happened to Paul. It changed his life. And so Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:19, "This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to forgive sinners, of whom I am the foremost." You know, I'm told by a friend of mine and also a close friend of Otis's, Reverend Tyson, that John Wesley, when he would preach, would often use those same words. He would stand before people and he would say, "This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the chiefest one." And in hearing John Wesley, people's lives were changed through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There's something about God's forgiveness that can change a life, that in turn will change another life, that in turn will change another life. And it's amazing what the effect of one person's life can mean to the world. There are basically four wonderful benefits of God's forgiveness. Change that. Three. I'll make it simpler. They all three start with an R. The first one is the restoration of relationship. Underscore that. Restoration of relationship. What happens when we sin? Now, mind you of this. All sins are sins ultimately against God. What happens when we sin is that there becomes a breach in the relationship between us and God. You know, that happened with Adam and Eve when they became aware that they had turned away. There was a gap between them and God. Matter of fact, they helped create the gap. Adam went and hid. And God comes walking in the garden. Normally they would be together. But God has to call out, Adam, where are you? Where are you? He knows where he is. He's hiding. But you see, there's a gap. There's distance now in the relationship. And sometimes when there's distance in your relationship, and you ask yourself, who moved? It's not God. It's us. And so the very relationship that we have with God, maybe we don't feel it at first. But as we continue to go down the road to turning away from God's will and God's way in disobedience, sometimes through the little things, sometimes through the big things, but that's not what's important. What's important is turning away is turning away. And that creates a gulf. And then when we recognize it, when the Spirit convicts us of our sin and we desire that relationship, we have no way to restore it ourselves. It has to be done for us, and that's what we call grace. God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves in the cross of Jesus Christ. The word priest in Latin is pontifex, which is also can be translated bridge builder. That's kind of what we need. We need a bridge to be built across the chasm to restore our relationship. And do you know who the bridge builder is? Jesus Christ. The timbers from his cross have built the bridge over which we can cross. And there's restoration of relationship. You know, we know what that feels like when there's been a breach between us and a friend or a spouse or anyone else. There's that distance of relationship. But we know as bad as that feels, we know also how good it feels when that chasm is overcome. There is restoration, and there is this wonderful gift that we receive. Forgiveness is like that. Our relationship, from God's standpoint, will always be there. But we cannot fully appreciate that relationship when we turn from Him. So we confess our sins, we receive forgiveness, and we enjoy that relationship. We have the gift of that relationship. The benefits of God's forgiveness, first of all, starts with the restoration of relationship. And then you know what that means? It means you're together again. You're aware of one another again. You wake in the morning and you know you're with God and He's with you. And you go through the day and you know you're with God and He's with you. And you go to bed at night and you recognize you've been aware of God's presence all day and He's been with you and you've been with Him. And that relationship has grown. You've talked with Him. You've laughed with Him. You've cried with Him. You've sung to Him. This is a relationship that's real. This isn't about a transaction. Okay, your debts are canceled. Here's a piece of paper. You can go home now. Your sins are forgiven. This piece of paper, there's been a transaction. No, let me tell you something. This is about relationship. You see, I learned at a very early age something important. I began asking the question, if I know that I can break the commandments and God's going to forgive me, well, heck, I'll just break them. All right, I know he's going to forgive me. Until I did that a couple of times and I learned that when I break his commandments, I'm not just breaking rules, I'm breaking his heart. And I don't want to see my Heavenly Father's heart broken. That, to me, tells me that it's all about the relationship. I value the relationship. It's not about a transaction, it's about a relationship. And when that relationship is restored, glory, hallelujah. And the second benefit is relief. Relief. Do you know what it feels like to carry a backpack full of big rocks? It's okay at the beginning of your hike, but you get further on down the road and that sack gets heavier and heavier. And then down the road, somebody stops you and say, excuse me, we're going to put another rock in there for you. You get more rocks and more rocks. That's like guilt. And it weighs you down and you don't know what to do with it. But when we confess our sins and receive forgiveness from God, he takes the back sack off the back sack. Is that what you call it? Backpack. I say things wrong all the time. I repent. Okay. Forgive me. And God takes that off and he dumps out all the rocks and he says, you don't even have to wear that anymore. That's relief. Did you hear the story about this fella? He was hitchhiking. He had a big, backpack. Okay. He had a big backpack on, you know. He was just hoping somebody would stop and give him a ride because that thing was heavy. Sure enough, just as he prayed that prayer, a pickup truck stopped. And this man said, son, you need a ride? You look like you're carrying a burden there. He said, I sure do need a ride. I'm carrying a burden. He said, hop in the back. So he hopped in the back. They drove a little bit further down the road, and the man pulled the truck off the road, got out, went back up there to the bed of his truck, and the man was still wearing his backpack. He said, son, you're carrying a burden, and I stopped to give you a ride. Why don't you take your backpack off? And he said, oh, sir, I couldn't do that. It was enough of you just to stop to give me a ride. Well, it wasn't going to get any heavier to the truck. And so when we finally learn that we can unload that backpack, it's relief. It's wonderful relief. Restoration of relationship, relief of the burden of guilt. And then the third thing is this, starts with an R. It revives our spirit. It revives our spirit. The psalmist said, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Now that Psalm 103, is a praise psalm. And that's a person whose spirit has been revived. All this person can really say and utter is that which is within his heart. It's the overflow of his heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then he lists all the benefits. And one of them, of course, is who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases. And you read that whole thing. And you realize that this person has been revived. And that's what forgiveness can do for us. So we start this series, first of all, with the understanding that we need to learn to accept God's forgiveness. Because perhaps until we do, we struggle with forgiving one another. And we also struggle from receiving forgiveness from others. Receiving forgiveness from God is so very important. Now, here's what's important to remember. We repent of our sins, first of all, to enter the kingdom of God. That's what John the Baptist was all about. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We repent and we believe the gospel. We repent in order to enter into the kingdom of God. But we practice repentance and pardon of sins daily. We practice repentance and pardon of sins weekly. We make this the habit of the Christian life. We're the only group that I know that's constituted by the practice of confession and pardon. And we do that in order to grow in the kingdom. We repent, first of all, to enter the kingdom. And we practice repentance and acceptance of pardon as we grow in our ability to love. And so sometimes we're here and we have a confession of sins. And maybe you don't really feel that speaks to you that day. You say, why am I even saying this? Why am I even having to say a confession? Because there will be a day when you'll really need to say that confession. And you're practicing for it. You're practicing for it every week. We remind one another what we are to do when we come here to worship. We are to be a people who confess and accept. And as we begin to do that and make it our habit now, we have that habit the rest of our life. Who needs to hear the words, I forgive you? All of us. And that's what God says to us today. I forgive you. I've seen it all. I know it all. I love you. I forgive you. Today, you're invited to come for prayer. Polly and I will be glad to pray with you. And please know that before we leave today, if you need to say the I forgive yous to anybody in here, you can do that before you leave. We learn to practice it here amongst one another, so when we go into the world, we can live it out. Let us stand.